I'm a little bit shocked at the number of people that I see living in dollar collapse denial. And I keep hearing comments from people, some of whom should know better, saying, oh, the dollar's going to be, you know, fine for a few more decades, and it'll take, you know, 30 years for the dollar to lose world reserve currency status. And you ask them why, and they say, well, I mean, look at the British pound, you know, it took 30 years to transition from the British pound to the U.S. dollar, and it took a world war that destroyed Western Europe, and then that's what gave America the advantage. Okay, yeah, all that was true from 1921 to 1951 or that era. Yeah, but that's when investment decisions and financial transactions and information moved at the speed of boats. If you had to get a contract to somebody from New York to London, it went on a freaking boat. Okay? I mean, you didn't even have much in the way of commercial air at the time. Not a lot of transatlantic flights, you know, in 1923 or whatever it was. You had information. It took a long time for information to get out. And so people reacted more slowly to that information, and also nations reacted more slowly. The whole world moved more slowly. Well, today, I mean, this is 2024 here. And a little over a year ago, in I think March of 23, we had the sudden collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. I mean, it collapsed almost overnight. Well, how did that happen? Because people put out messages that, oh, Silicon Valley Bank is in trouble. They can't meet the withdrawal demands. And then everybody who had an account with Silicon Valley Bank was like, what? I better withdraw. And then within a matter of a few hours, I mean, well, maybe 30 hours or 36 hours, something like that, it was done. The bank was done. They closed it. FDIC seized it. And then, you know, bailout money kicked in for U.S. account holders. But foreign account holders were screwed. They lost everything. In 1929... you had stockbrokers that physically went to Wall Street and they represented the interests of their clients, who got messages to them through very slow means, maybe telegraph if they were lucky. But even that took a lot of relay and coordination because it didn't work nationwide, folks. So a lot of people were sending mail. Oh, I want to buy this many shares of this stock. And then when a crash would occur, the people outside of Wall Street, they wouldn't even hear about that crash for days or weeks. It would take a long time for the newspapers to get that information. Today, what's happening on Wall Street can be on your phone in about 5 seconds or less. There's no delay. So there's no delay in decision making. My point is that we now live in an accelerated time of compression of events, because information travels more quickly and people have shorter attention spans and people have high fear factors right now. They want to move quickly out of things that are troublesome. And the same thing is true for nations. And as BRICS rises as an alternative international settlement currency for hundreds of nations around the world, they will say, and they will make a decision very quickly to say, we're going to trade and settle in BRICS, not dollars. And they can send that to their finance minister. They can say, you got 30 days, do it. Or 7 days or whatever, tomorrow. And they can start putting that in play almost immediately. Point is, this transition away from the dollar is not going to take years. It's going to be much faster than that. And then the comment about war. Well, you know, hey, the decline of the British pound, it took World War I and World War II, both devastating Britain's economy in different ways. And that's what allowed the U.S. to become the world reserve currency, because the U.S. was the last country standing. Well, okay. By the way, notice the Atlanticist European anthropomorphic focus of all of history, as if there wasn't even Asia or South America or the Middle East. Like, the whole history of the world was London and France. And that's, I mean, I'm just pointing that out. They're very narrow-minded. But wars today can happen much faster than they did in World War II also. Why? Well, the weapons are so much more devastating, and information travels faster. I mean, right now, we're sitting on the edge of what looks like a new outbreak of war, where Israel is going to attack Lebanon. Within a matter of hours, Iran could enter the war, and the U.S. Navy could be involved in the war, and then within a day or two later, Russia could be in the war. This isn't like World War II, where you spend, 18 months getting the troops ready and loading up the boats and sailing across the Atlantic for 3 weeks, and then having a training camp on the east coast of one of the British islands. I mean, that's not the way it works today. War happens at the speed of information, and the missiles fly at multiples of the speed of sound. Russia has hypersonic missiles. So does Iran. The United States doesn't, by the way. That's kind of bizarre. China does. And how fast does the damage spread from atomic bombs or thermonuclear warheads? How fast? At the speed of light, basically. So an entire small country like Israel can be decimated in a few thousandths of a second upon detonation, right? So this isn't going to be a slow motion demonstration of world history here. Now, granted, there's a lot of build-up time, there's hesitation time, but once these key decisions start to be made, the events take place very rapidly, and the dollar can lose its world dominance literally overnight. And there's one event in particular that I think is coming that would be absolutely devastating to the dollar, and that is the sinking of a U.S. aircraft carrier. Now, the Yemeni military is now claiming that they have successfully struck and damaged, I think they claim the USS Eisenhower. And of course, the U.S. Navy denies that, so who knows. But the Yemeni military has destroyed other ocean vessels, not just damaged, but destroyed. Some are at the bottom of the Red Sea now. And Russia has nuclear missiles that are hypersonic. It only takes one of those to sink an aircraft carrier. The moment a U.S. aircraft carrier is destroyed, the perception of the power of the U.S. Navy is instantly altered worldwide. All of a sudden, trading partners realize that the United States of America cannot enforce its dollar hegemony, and they can start making different decisions quite literally the very next day. Wow. The U.S. Navy is obsolete. So what does that mean as far as sea routes? Well, it means that we're going to go into a multipolar world. That's what it means. And the U.S. dollar is simply not going to be the dominant currency any longer. Now, something else to consider in all of this, the very same people that are telling you right now that the dollar will never collapse, the dollar will never stop being the world reserve currency, these are all the same people who said in 2007 and 2008, Bear Stearns will never collapse. I mean, it's a pillar of Wall Street. There's no way Bear Stearns could go down, or Goldman Sachs, or there's no way that real estate prices will ever collapse. That's impossible. Investing in the American dream of owning a home, that's the most reliable investment in the history of all investments. This is what we were all told, right? Remember that? And then they slice and dice a bunch of really bad subprime mortgage debt. Like, here's grade F debt. It's like, wow, I didn't even know you had grade F. Oh yeah, we have grade F. We have F minus. We have grade Z. So we're going to slice and dice all this debt, and then we're going to recombine it, permutate it, a little piece over here, a little piece over there, from all kinds of different mortgages. We're going to call that diversity. And we're going to say that then reduces risk, because now it's a very diverse basket of crappy debt. And then we're going to have that debt rated A++. Uh-huh. Wow. And then they sell that debt. And everybody bought that debt, including pensions, retirement funds, institutions. And they said, well, it's rated. I mean, it's rated A++ by the ratings agencies. There's no way that this will ever fail. Real estate has never failed in America. And then, guess what? Shazam, nobody could pay their mortgage because they never qualified in the first place. No income, no job loans, ninja loans. Remember all that? Well, those are all the same people that are saying right now the dollar will be here forever. These are the same financial morons who also told you that dot-com stocks would never crash, which, of course, they did in 2000. Time and time again, it's the naysayers who have been proven wrong by real history. And that's because the dollar system is a Ponzi scheme. It's a massive fraud. Wall Street stock valuations are fraudulent. They're not even real. It's all hiked up by Federal Reserve money printing and buying up stocks to just try to create the impression that the market's doing great. And hey, if it wasn't for NVIDIA, you know, wouldn't be much of anything in the markets right now anyway. So they just pick a few stocks and then they roll those into the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And then they say, look, the Dow Jones is rising. And then if any stock does poorly, then they remove it from the Dow and they replace it with a different company that they handpicked that keeps rising. And that's how they can say that over time, the return from investing in just the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's been great, they say. It's been great. Except it's all a lie. It's all a fraud. They keep replacing the stocks in there. So you don't really have an accurate representation of what buy and hold would be across the market. Most stocks are doing poorly, it turns out. And many companies are going bankrupt. Retailers are having an apocalypse nationwide. They're shutting down like crazy. The economy is not looking good under Biden here. And now the Democrats have come along and they want to tax unrealized gains in stocks. Think about this. I mean, talk about a suicide mission. So if you buy NVIDIA at, let's just go back in time. If you bought it at $100 and then it goes up to $200, then according to these Democrats, well, you have to pay capital gains tax on that gain, even though you've never sold the stock. You're like, what? Yeah. And they want to raise capital gains to something like 40%+, by the way. So, so you'll have to sell the stock to pay the gains on the stock, which means that everybody's going to be selling the stock if there's any kind of gain, which means that that will reverse the gain. And then the stock will nosedive as everybody's selling it. And then there'll be losses. And the whole point is investing in the stock market will become a pointless game of just paying the government. These are insane ideas from the kind of people who wreck the economy. And do you realize that if they try to tax capital gains, the number one best thing to buy is just gold? Because it's not electronic. You know, you buy gold, hold it in your hands, bury it, whatever. The government can't touch it. And it just sits there, gaining value compared to dollars, because dollars are losing value. And you don't have a taxable event. Or maybe the government will come along and say, oh, but yes, you do. You have to pay gains on everything, including commodities. Can you imagine that? Like if you're a farmer and you plant a bunch of corn, and then as the corn starts to grow, the government says, well, that's more valuable now than the seeds that you planted. So, hey, farmer, pay up. You have unrealized gains here. And then it becomes a full corn plant. You've got corn on the cob, on the crop, in the field, and the government says, you got to pay us 40%, man. That crop is more valuable now. You're like, I haven't even harvested it yet. Oh, well, that's no excuse. The law is the law. Can you imagine? It wouldn't make any sense to grow food. It wouldn't make any sense to develop energy, you know, to drill for oil. It wouldn't make any sense to do anything. The whole economy would shut down. And then where would the dollar be? You see, the dollar would be worthless at that point. Nobody producing anything. Nobody's growing food. Nobody's producing energy. And nobody's investing in the stock market because it's not worth it. The government just steals everything even before you can sell it. So at that point, you have a dead economy. And then you have a dead currency, you have a dead nation, you have a breakup of the nation, and then I guess you have a reboot at that point, and a whole new nation that would abandon those silly ideas. So these are just some of the things that I think about, because I know that the collapse of the dollar can happen very suddenly. So be ready. Be ready. That's all I'm saying. Be ready. Check out my new website, rangerdeals.com, which brings you listings of the two gold and silver companies that I trust, if that's of interest to you, or other preparedness items and other cost savings deals on other goods like holsters and firearms and ivermectin for pets and things like that. So check that out. Again, rangerdeals.com. I think you'll enjoy that. And thank you for listening. I am the Health Ranger, founder of Brighteon.com and NaturalNews.com. God bless you all. Be safe. Get prepared. It's going to be an interesting time. Take care. Also, have you seen these? These are goldbacks, and we've got different denominations to show you there. They come in 50, 25, 10, 5, and 1s. That's a stack of 1s. This is 1/1,000th of a troy ounce of gold, and it's embedded in the polymer layers in the gold backs, and you can get them, again, at those different denominations, so it's good divisibility of gold. And since the gold is in the gold back itself, it's not some fiat currency. It's actually a piece of gold that you can use for gifts or barter or trade, even in a local community. If the grid goes down, a lot of people might be using gold and silver or gold backs. Now, if you go to our website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, that's our affiliate site. We do earn a little bit off your purchase there, but what we've done is we've done the laboratory testing. And on that site, you'll see my lab test results, how we tested them using a kiln, using an ICP-MS mass spec instrument, using an acid stone test here as well. We verified the purity and the masses of the gold that are embedded in these different bills. And in fact, I've got here in these vials in my hands right here, this is actually one of the pellets of gold. I melted it down into like a BB shape. I don't know if you can see it, but I've got gold in these three vials right here. Yeah, there you can kind of see it moving around there. You can hear them. And we did the tests on these, and this is the gold that came out of these gold backs. So we were able to confirm the gold is real. It's 24 karat plus, and it actually exceeds the mass that's required. Our recovery ranged from 102% to about 100 and what was it? Typically 105%. I've got the results here. Check this out. Look at these photos. I did all this myself. So if you melt them down, you get this, and then you keep melting, you get it into like a pellet, and then you use an analytical balance in the laboratory and you do the math. It's pretty amazing. At first you get this gold foil, which is pretty cool. And then you can melt the foil into this like BB pellet looking thing. Anyway, here's the recoveries we got from a low of 102.89% or 101.96%. That's the lowest, to 107% recovery. And the bottom line is, if you want real gold in your hands that's divisible, that is also incredibly beautiful, that people instantly love, they recognize this, they see, wow, that's gold. And they're actually looking at gold. This isn't paint. This is the gold just kind of made really thin and put into this format and then sandwiched between polymers. Goldbacks are your answer. So check out verifiedgoldbacks.com. And there you can purchase goldbacks and you can help support this platform at the same time, because we earn a small percentage. And this is a really good form of off-grid money. And you might have gold coins or silver coins, and I strongly encourage gold and silver coins, but a gold coin is a pretty big piece of value to try to trade with. You know, you're at a farmer's market, you're like, oh, I want a loaf of bread. What do you have? Oh, I have a 1 ounce gold coin. Well, that's worth $2,100 now, or $2,200. Gold skyrocketing. So what are you going to do? Like buy a loaf of bread and then give me change for the 1 ounce of gold? No. But if you're trying to buy that loaf of bread with a gold back, you say, hey, how would you like 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold for that loaf of bread in this format, gold backs, which actually has a premium over just the raw price of gold, because it's better than just 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold. I mean, it's in a format that's, it's beautiful to look at. It's durable. You can carry it. It fits in a wallet or a pocket or a purse. A lot of merchants will say, absolutely, I'll take that gold.
And now you can buy a loaf of bread, or you can buy, you know, a bag of potatoes, or whatever, depending on what the economy looks like after the debt collapse. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly, but I know I want gold and silver, and I want to have lots of different options of money that works off grid. So yeah, our grid's not reliable. Our monetary system is not reliable. The currency is not reliable, but you know what you can count on? Physical gold and silver in your hands. That's what you can count on. It doesn't need a password. You don't need to log in. It doesn't need the bank's permission to have value. It doesn't need the backing of a government. You don't have to have faith in the treasury to confiscate money from people. This has value all by itself. And gold has had value for centuries. I mean, come on, millennia, what am I saying? And it will continue to have value long after the collapse of the dollar and probably the collapse of Western civilization itself. So there you go. That's why the wealthy are buying gold like crazy. That's why gold is spiking, because people who know what's about to happen, they are bailing out of the banks. They're bailing out of the dollars. They're getting out of the system. They're going to off-grid forms of asset protection. And that's gold and silver and land and certain types of crypto and maybe, you know, food supplies or ammunition supplies. And if you want food, of course, check us out at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got you covered there. So consider your options, do your research, and make sure you are ready for what's about to happen. Look at that. That's beautiful. That's gold. This is so cool. The 50 is thick. It is very thick. And it's much larger than the one, because there's 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold in this. And if you could feel it, it's heavier. It's thicker. Because the gold is actually in there. You really can't put much more gold in a bill than 51/1000ths of an ounce. So they've done a great job with this, the gold-backed company, and this is something that has really intrigued a lot of people, and it's another form of having stores of value that are highly divisible and have high utility, more utility than just a one-ounce coin itself. So be sure to check these out again, verifiedgoldbacks.com, and thank you for your support. Get ready, because we're headed into interesting times. Be safe. Take care.